continuing pair of designs from when it broke him. Let's see, I made a mark here where we're up to. On page, in the Mimarum, it's page Lamed Aleph, the Kasher Yoda Moshe Rabbeinu. And here it's. Okay, so what we saw in the beginning of the first half, or maybe a little bit more than half the parak, was the Rambam came to define for us what it means that there were mechitzas that were mavdilos between the Navi, right? They were separating, mechitzas separating between the Navi and Hashem. And the truth is, he's applying it to the Navi, but he says before that bichlal, there are mechitzas that separate man from Hashem. And those mechitzas, he explains what those mechitzas are. They are the lackings, the intellectual lackings of a person, and then there are the p'chisiyos, the way he says it, right? The lackings that are in midos, okay? The shortcomings in midos, and the intellectual shortcoming of people, those act as mechitzas between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and man. If a person, obviously, his seichel is not so stark, he's not going to be able to be masig as much, he's not going to be able to conceptualize and attain an understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the most profound levels. Whatever he has, you know, everybody has to work with whatever vessel he has. It's that, I should mention that when it comes to the vart of hasaga, when it comes to the, you know, the idea of hasaga, hasaga is a very difficult word to translate into English, because anything you say about the word hasaga is not enough. You really would have to translate it probably with a paragraph. Okay, it's really literally it's translated usually as conceptualization or attaining. Attaining a level, the masig a level, they're all correct. It's attaching to Hashem and grasping Hashem's greatness. And you can only grasp Hashem's greatness by coming closer to Hashem, kind of by becoming a part of Him to a certain degree. That's the union of dveikus, being mizdavik Hashem, cleaving to Hashem. So, on the one hand, we see that the seichel, if a person, you know, obviously some people have higher levels of seichel and other people, and that's godly given. We see, you know, kids, it's a godly given thing. You can develop your seichel to a certain degree, but you have your starting point, and that usually defines more or less how far you can get. So if the Rambam is telling us that this acts as a mechitza between us and Hashem, that sounds very unfair to people who might not have such a high seichel. So the truth is that, right, there's a few different aspects over here that we should relate to maybe. One is, there's the inyan of hasaga, of intellectual hasag, of intellectual connection and understanding to Hashem. And then there's another level, there's another thing to discuss, which is how much the person becomes one with Hashem. Now, becoming one with Hashem, b'chayra, right, you have a mechitza that separates. But we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's flow is always flowing down. This is actually going to be relevant to the finishing off this parak, and then actually seeing some things in the Meimarom itself, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe. But basically, if you want to say it, if a person keeps the mitzvahs and a person purifies his heart, the seichel can be opened up. And the seichel can be improved immensely to the point where it's unnatural. There's an unnatural growth of the seichel based on the midos of a person, how much a person purifies himself and makes him into a vessel of Hashem, of Hashem's light. There's a famous, if I remember correctly, what was his name? maybe Rebellion, maybe Plazansky, like an uncle of Reb Moshe Feinstein, whatever they bring down. The book on Reb Moshe, I might have got the name wrong. So look it up. I don't know, maybe I don't have it. I don't know. But so over there it says a story that which apparently was known to be fact, was that he was very average intellectually, and it frustrated him very much because he wanted to, not because he wanted to be considered anything in the eyes, but because of his own relationship with Hashem. He wanted to understand the Torah on a deeper and a more comprehensive level. He wanted to be Kohen Torah. So there was one time where he just like completely broke down into tears and cried to Hashem for Siyata Deshmaya in learning, and they say like he mamish became a whole different level of person. I don't want to say about who, but I've heard about certain Rosh Hashiva was in the last generation that also he was a big Tam Tchacham, whatever it is, but they said that when he became Rosh Hashiva and started to give Shir Kloli as Rosh Hashiva, they said there was a very noticeable advance, like tremendous unnatural advance in his level of learning compared to what is in the level of Chiddush compared to what it was before. So there are factors that obviously impact the seichel of the person in a way which was not really bound by nature, if you want to say it like that. That's really the truth. And so that the seichel and the midos are extremely interconnected. And the truth of the matter is that the Rambam, as we said, refers to midos always as deos, right? Which is like relating to the mind. And that really indicates, or Huttner called this, speaks about this, chavis halavos, I don't know what, I don't remember the lashon, the chavis halavos, or deos, whatever. What's that? Yeah, he had something on this also, like, yeah, they're intertwined. The mind of a person, the seichel, the das of a person is very, very dependent, even though there is a difference between das and seichel, that I will say, but there's a connection here, obviously, between the midas of a person and the ability to know Hashem and the ability to grasp Hashem. So that if someone does find themselves having a level of intellect which is beneath what they would like, don't feel that's not a good enough excuse. It doesn't work like that. Okay, so that's like a parenthetical comment about what we spoke about last week. But nevertheless, the Rambam again says these are the two factors that act as mechitzes between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and man, is the seichel and the midas of a person. And then he goes on to tell us, and therefore he says that's when Chazal speak about the mechitzes that between the Navi and Hashem, that's all they're referring to. It's not like some kind of, spiritual, detached, abstract concept, some kind of, there might be that too, but that's based. Those mechitzos, those very spiritual constructs of called mechitzos, are based on, and they are, in the Rambam's terminology at least, they are the midos that are lacking in the person, and that's the Rambam's focus actually in this parak, was the union of the midos of a person. Now he then went ahead and told us that to be a Navi, you did need to have perfect midos, all your midos would be perfect. No, you had to have maybe most of your midos, but there were, Nevi'im did have certain, shortcomings in different midos, and he gave us a list that of examples of mamish, the biggest Nevi'im that there were, that each, he points out to like a shortcoming in each one, showing that each one had a certain mida that was not yet 100% complete, but that doesn't hold it back. That itself is called a mechitza. So the more midas you have, let's say you have three midas that are at fault of some sort, you have some kind of shortcoming, so those are three mechitzas. And if you have two midas, those are two mechitzas. That's where we got up to. Kasheh yada Moshe Rabbeinu, that's what. Kasheh yada Moshe Rabbeinu olav ha'shalom. Shalei nishalei mechitza shalei hesiroisa. When Moshe Rabbeinu realized, when he knew that He had no remaining mechitza that he had not removed. He had perfected himself to such an awesome degree that's it. There were no more mechitzas to be removed. And that all the milus amidos, all the good midos, were perfected and complete by him. And all the intellectual levels. Bikesh. So when he got to that level, he said, okay, now it's time. He requested from Hashem that Hashem should let him attain, should let him chap, should let him understand the mahus, the essence of Hashem, at that level of metzias amitose, at the most absolute, true havana of Hashem's essence. Because now there's nothing holding back. There's no mechitzas. So give me the full picture now. Show me yourself in full. And that's when he said to Hashem, "Hareini nois kvedecha, please show me your glory." That's what he was asking. And Hashem Yisborach informed him, "Sheiyev shaloiza, sorry, can't do. Biyoisoi seichel nimtze b'chaymer." As long as the seichel is inside this physical package, right? As long as you're in the physical wrapping, meaning you're alive, in olam hazeh, the body, you have a body. But so mashehu adam, since you're a person, v'omri ki lo yirani adam b'chai. So that's what he said. No man can see me and live. Lo nishur lo beina yu bein asagas ha'boyu HaKadosh Baruch Hu ala mitas mitziusoy ala mechitz achas behiro. So that there was only one remaining mechitza that separated between him and his ability to be masig Hashem Yisbaruch at the level of essence. That was the human intellect. The human intellect which is not separated from this world, right? It's bound, right? It's bound within physicality. Memela, he couldn't, as a living person, as long as that seichel, which is a human intellect, is bound by these physical limits, there's no way that he could get to that level of Yirani Ha'adam that a person would see Kadosh Baruch Hu, even Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gomel of Yisbar Chesed B'tet Lo Mina Asaga. But Hashem did him a grosa toive, he did him a favor, he did him a kindness here, by giving him from the Asaga, Acher Sheshala, after he asked for it. He did give Moshe Rabbeinu, he raised him up to a higher level than what he had understood about the Kadosh Baruch Hu beforehand. He gave him that. And he informed him, so he informed him that tachlis of knowing God's essence at that fullest level, that's impossible because you're a human being.
I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know before that as long as he is Gashmi,
right,
he can't be Masig Hashem.
That's what it sounds like. And this is the chesed, is that this, that's what it sounds like. That the chesed over here is this idea to realize that mankind is limited, the second, even the highest of all men is limited. In a certain sense, this itself is a chesed, maybe. I'm just going to throw a little bit of a chiddush. I don't know if this is necessarily, but it might be a little bit hinted to over here. Maybe the chesed is kind of hinting to him that, you know, after you die, you will be able to get to that. Like when you're seichel, when you're nifter, and you're out of the physical limitation, you will be able to get to that. Perhaps that's part of the chesed over here. Is first of all, the chesed obviously is, listen, you got to the highest possible, but you have to realize that man can't go past this. The man can't break out of that physical framework. But implied in that very statement, I'm just adding, implied in that very statement is that after Moshe Rabbeinu will be nifter, he will be able to get there. That's the implication. So
it's also mashma that Moshe Rabbeinu went through his whole life after Matan Torah, having been masig everything that he could be masig.
Yeah. The truth of the matter is, I'll tell you, there are sources, you know, it's very famous that Vat Chasrei Mat Melukim, that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get the 50th level, the 50th Shar of Bina. There are sources that at some point, and there's different sources depending where, maybe it was given at Matan Torah before, and then it was taken away, or maybe later on in life, there are sources that he got the 50th. And that Arizal already. That he actually, at some point in his life, that he did get the 50th. That's fascinating. So, Moshe Rabbeinu, yeah, he was pretty up there.
The 50th level was same as Amitas Mitzios.
So, apparently not. It's always, it's always interesting to fit. I mean, it's important actually. This is what Meimarim does, right? To fit Rambam together with Kabbalah, right? They clearly do line up. But the question would be. We're not going to go into this now, but there's what to be chayker over here as far as how the Rambam, what the Rambam, when the Rambam says this lashon of amitas mitziusoi, to be masakel d'shboruch al amitas mitziusoi, what does that parallel, kabbalistically speaking? It is clear to me that it is not referring to what the Mekubalim call, like the Leshem and the Nefesh HaChaim, some kind of Amitosei HaNelomo, the infinite essence, which is past and beyond, the unspeakable, which is past and beyond even that coined expression called Ein Sof. That's impossible. The absolutely impossible, even after you're out of the human body. Malachim, the Neshamas, anything that's already a Nivra can't become the Boire, so to say. Can't be more than the Boire. This is past the Boire. This is already, the Boire is what's called Olam Atzilus. This is going even higher. That's for sure. I can't talk to that. So the question, where on this scale is the Rambam's concept of the what it seems to me, I would say it's the level of Atzilus. It's the level of a full Chachma. With a Chachma, that the level of Chachma really becomes the observer and the observed become one. That's what I think that this level would be. But anyway, we're a little bit lower than this, so let's go back down and into the Rambam.
Yeah, the Mekubalim that we say that he did would have to explain the Gemara, though, which says.
There are. There's what's so be and a chanami. I'll show you how Ora in the sefer I wrote on this issue, but not now. Yeah, after this year.
The Ramak says such a thing as well.
The Ramak says what that he.
That he attained 50. He attained the 50th.
I don't remember if I saw the Ramak or not. I have to look at what I wrote at the time.
Remember. Someone goes through and asked the question.
Okay. Fine. So now Vichino, we're gonna continue the Rambam. Vichino Amitas Hasgibur Iasponim. So the Torah termed that full hasaga, that truthful hasaga, he termed it, the Pasuk terms it seeing the face. Seeing the face, right? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Moshe Rabbeinu? Ki ponai lo yitiro. You can't see my face. You can see my back, but the face you can't see, right? The term for yes, upon him refers to hasagas, amitas hasaga. It's that full true hasaga. Why is it called seeing the face? Because when a person sees the face of his friend, once I see you, I'm not going to mix you up with somebody else. If I see you, obviously, I spend time observing you and looking at whatever it is. I'm not going to mix you up. If somebody else comes before me and I look at his face, I'm not going to think he is you. And even when the person's not in front of you, you remember the face. You knew the face. You saw the face. You remember the face. But when you see the backside of a person, even though you recognize him with that re'iyah, with that sight, Pa'amim yisupak alav yisarav lemezulase. But sometimes you see somebody from the back and you're like, oh wait, is that so-and-so? Because the back is less distinct. It's less clear. Yeah. Yeah. I thought you were asking a question. No. It's less clear. So the unclear hasaga is termed achoraim, is termed achor, is termed seeing the back of Hashem. And the full, clear, 100% absolute hasaga of his amitas mitziusai, that's termed panai, panim. That's like seeing your friend, so to say. So too is the being masik Hashem yisbarach ala emes, in the true way. He yediyas Hashem yisbarach me amitas mitziusai, mashalo yishtatef ba mitziusai uzulosi ben amitzois. That is, what is that level? That's knowing Hashem from his true mitzius, which means knowing him at the level that he has nothing in common with any other mitzius. Until you find benafsha, you masik Hashem, you relate to Hashem, you realize Hashem's essence that has no shaychus to any other mitzvahs you know. So, for example, we use terms referring to Hashem, Hagodol, Hagibor, Vanoira. We use different terms that are really limiting as far as language goes. There are terms, the way the Torah says, Dibra Torah Kaloshem B'nei Adam. The Torah speaks like a person. So that, why? So that we can understand something. If the Torah didn't do that, we have no way of understanding. Language is our only means to Chachma. So the level, though, of Hasaga Amitas is coming to that Hasaga of Hashem where you realize not just that all these Lashonis are mashal or that he has like whatever, but it's like no shaychus to the essence of those same words that you mean. It's like on a whole different dimension, a whole different level than the words that we're using. Now here too, there's what to be meir, because according to the Sfarim HaKadoshim, what we just said has to be put into somewhat of a different perspective, because the Sfarim and the Shulchan Aruch has a whole arichas on this. It says, when we talk about the Yad Hashem, and we talk about the, you know, all these Lashonis that are very physical, as if he has a body, those Lashonis, he says, are not just a Mashal. There is really what's called a Yad Hashem, and there's really, but not in a physical sense. Not in a physical sense, but they refer to true Ruchnis, they could constructs, or so to say, limbs, if you want to say, right? But again, with no shaychus to what, when we say Yad, we automatically refer to something. We automatically are referring to something very physical, and even if we abstract, that's what we have to do. When we learn these Lashonis, we have to abstract from them. But we have to realize that abstraction is a very, very, very serious abstraction, where it's, you know, it's like a whole different mahos. What the Rambam is saying over here is that the maximum we ever get to in that abstraction is like a level of achoraim. But that level of pnimius, like, we hear it intellectually, but it's like you don't know what that means. It's really just, okay, we know it's not what we recognize, but what is it? That level of what it is, that we have no shaychus to. That's what the Rambam means over here. That would be the panim. That's the panim. That's the riyas panim. The ef shel adam mahasik ze ashir min asaga. It's impossible for a person to reach this level of asaga. El shehu all of shalom isik lamata mizemot. But the Moshe Rabbeinu got to that just a tiny bit below that. Pretty good. V'hu hashekina v'omar, and that's what the Torah expresses by saying v'reisa sacharai. Hashem says, Moshe, you'll see me back. Vani also Lashem Zayin b'Sefer Nevuah. The Rambam says, I'm going to complete this inyan. I'm going to speak more about this in Sefer Nevuah. I don't know if we have such a. I don't think we have such a Sefer from the Rambam. But anyway, Kasha Yodu Chachamim Zerchayin Luvracha. When Chazal knew Sheshnei Aminim Eilu Min Apchisiyos, that these two types of shortcomings, Ritzoni Loimer Asichliyos VaAmidos, the intellectual, right, meaning the intellectual and the midos, Hey Masha Yavdilu ben Hashem Yisbeich ben Adam. They are what separate between Hashem and man. Ubehem u Yisra Malas and Neviim, and it's in them that is the advantage of the levels of the Neviim. Or also the difference. It probably means really also the different levels within the Neviim. Okay. So they said about some of the Nevi'im or some of the people that they knew b'masherom mechachmasim be the same. What they saw from their chachma and the midos, when they saw, when Chazal looked around, they said, "Oh, look at these tanoim, look at these amoroim." They saw their godless and chachma and their godless and midos. So they said about them, they used this expression, "Ru'u yemeim shetishre shchina aleim k'meisher abinu alav shalom." They are roi to have the Shekhinah rest upon them like Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom. That's the Gemara, right? Gemara Sukkah, Gemara Baal Basra. They use this kind of expression. Oh, they're roi. So says Rambam, V'loi olay mimcha inyan adimyan. Don't forget what the inyan of adimyan is. Right? Shehem dimuoy somboy. They were just using that as an expression of comparison. Lo shehishvu meilav chalila. Not that they mamish meant it to be completely equal, Chas V'Shalom. They can't say that. They can't say about people in the days of the Tanoim and the Amoraim, they can't say about them, oh, they're equal to Moshe Rabbeinu. No, by far, they're not. But there's a dimyun in the fact that they're shleimim. They were recognized as shleimim b'chachman, shleimim b'midos. They were whole in chachman, they were whole in their midos. Again, relative to their generation. And on that perceived shleimus, they're similar to Moshe Rabbeinu that was Shalem in Seichel and Shalem in Midas. V'chein amra l'cheim, and so too they said about others, ki Yeshua ben Nun al atzadah shezachanu. They use that lashon by, about, like, so they said, right, that they ru'uyim, that shetamad lem chama, like ki Yeshua ben Nun, also meaning, it was an expression of how great they are, that they're similar in a certain way to Yeshua ben Nun. And this is the inyan that we were intending to explain in this parak. Stam, this thing what the Rambam just said about the difference between dimyoin and being mashvetuk, right? So that's actually the very beginning of Nefesh Chaim, the very first parak of Nefesh Chaim, right? Explains what is tzelem elikim, right? And what's the lashon of nasa adim b'tzalmenu kidmuseinu? We're going to make man like, right? What do you mean? That's mamish kfiro. As if Hashem has a body, we're mamish b'tzalem elikim. What does that mean? So he says, he goes into what's the difference between the lashon of tzalem and dmus. So when he discusses dmus, he says, you have a pasuk mafurish that says, udma dmus tarchuloi. What kind of image can you think about for Hashem? In other words, he has no dmus. Comes along the pasuk in Chumash and says, "Kid Moseinu." What does it mean? Ela perushe dimyon ma beizadover. It's a similarity in a certain aspect. Kamo damisi lekas midbar. Like it says, I was similar to the bird that flies around the midbar, and maybe an owl. I'm not sure what the kas is. I'm similar to a kas midbar. Ka'a is a bird that would fly around the midbar. So he says, "What does that mean? I'm similar." Ki loy nasu lekinafayim v'chatoim. He didn't just suddenly get wings and a big beak, right? There's a dimyon he was similar to the bird in this way that he was wandering around the same way a bird, the ka'ah, wanders around the midbar. That's all the word dimyon means.
So, question in the Rambam. When the Rambam says he's masik the metzius of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, does he mean ad she yimtza benafsha metzius v'chazak v'nevdeles ad she motza benafsha metzius shar hanimtza? Is he saying that you sense HaKadosh Baruch Hu like you sense other things, meaning that you would
separate, no, chazak v'nevdeles, on a totally separated, a totally different level than anything he's found on Masha Motza ben Nafsha mi Metziyus Shana Metziyus, and anything he's ever found with Metziyus of other Metziyus. Yeah.
But I'm saying that in the Rambam's Hasaga of the Borei Olam, is he being masik that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists, or like are we talking about midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? For the Rambam, like you understand the Darkei Hashem, it's not talking Reinas Drachecha.
So that's a good question. The truth of the matter is, apparently on the level that the Rambam is speaking, Right? We have to remember that the Rambam is the one that tells us that the Yidea, Yidea, right, the Maskil, the Seichel, the Muskil, it's all one. So at the level of Amitas Mitziusa, your question becomes completely invalid. Because at the deepest level of knowing Hashem, his midos and his very existence are the same exact thing. They're in a complete oneness that we can't understand. In other words, we speak about, for example, Kabbalistically speaking, 10 different spheres, right? 10 different attributes of how Kadosh Baruch Hu brings down Shefa and relates to us in the world. Now, 10 is a division, and that is a fragmentation of Koiches. But we know, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that those 10 somehow are completely indivisible by their Bayir Olam, and they're in a state of complete oneness that if we were to observe that oneness, we wouldn't be able to see either any of those spheres. We wouldn't be able to pick one out and say, oh, I see his Chachma, oh, I see his Bina. No, it would all be in this complete oneness, and yet it's all there. So the level that the Rambam would be speaking about, that a person would be seeing the Panim Kibayach of Hashem, the Metzius Amitus would be, yeah, the Maskil, the Muskil, and the Seichel all together wrapped up in a complete oneness. That's part of why we wouldn't be able to receive it until we're out of the body. Because in the body, we can't see such a oneness. We are automatically fragmented in our intellectual capacity of retaining and of receiving information. Okay? So let's take the first seif over here in the Meimorim. I think we could probably hack it. It's not so long. We'll go for it. On page Kuf Chaf Ches. We're lacking some copies here. Okay. Klalus Divrei Harambam Milamdenu. The general, if you take the wholeness of the Rambam's words in this perek, they teach us the different levels, the different ways of nevuah are not stemming from the essence of prophecy itself. They're not built in to the essence of the nevuah itself. It's all just that division, the different levels of nevuah, they're all mitzad masik. They're all coming from the angle of the prophet that's receiving it. That's receiving, the receiver of the prophecy, of the nevuah. How do we see this from the Rambam? Let's just, right? Because the Rambam says, it's the same nevuah, there's just different amount of mechitzas. One Navi has a few different mechitzas, and this one has less mechitzas. But the nevuah itself is the same nevuah. So for the Rambam, you see that nevuah, the nevuah itself, there's no different levels of the nevuah mitzat the nevuah itself. The different levels of the nevuah are from the receiver. The nevuah itself is said from above with all its power, all its exalted power to all the Navim equally. Just every Navi attains in that Navuah according to his level. And that's what Rambam means when he's discussing, when he speaks about the Mechitzos, that they're from the side, they're from the angle, from the of the Navi and the one that's receiving the Navuah. There are those who, there's a Navi who can reach from, attain Nevuah from a higher level. He's able to get there. Not just get there, he's there. He's not behind the Mechitza, he's on a higher level. And there is a Navi who gets from a more mediocre place. There's one that gets from the low level. Not only that, but the mechitzas come in order to reveal and tell over his power, his awesomeness, the kol masig, to anyone that's able, that right, to each masig, Sheima yumarim le mashu yoter mi mashu yochel asig. If they would show min hashemayim, they would show it more than he's able to attain. Lo yamasik klal, he wouldn't receive it at all. Ki anevua beetzem yibo b'roimus miskav v'chivyon oiz gvurasa. Look, fishur shekol echad ve'echad. Because the nevuah in its own right, and it's right, is given by the nevuah mitzad itself, as we said, is given at the highest level, holding back nothing. It doesn't go according to the shear of each person. It's giving it that same amazing flow of nevuah, the same love that same Moshe Rabbeinu got, everyone else is getting. V'lechein nidrashes mechitzos, and therefore you need mechitzos, you need separations, kedei shekol echad yasik fishur kfigodloi, so that each person would be able to get according to the measure of nevuah he's able to attain, he's able to receive, according to the greatness of level that he's able to receive. V'mechitzos, now, so the same idea, right? A person looks at the sun. It's blinding, because he can't hack it, right? But if you have sunglasses, so you can now be nene from the light of the sun, right? The same, this famous marshal. And the mechitzos appear to the Navi in his vision according to the distance and shear where he's holding. If he's, let's say, two mechitzos distant from Hashem, he's got two midas, let's say, that he needs work on. Then he sees in the vision as if there's two mechitzes separating between him and Hashem. Mamish kidmus amara shekfi mashu roya ba'amara. Mamish, the way, similar to a mirror, the way he sees in the mirror. I'm not 100% sure what he means by that ending lashon. But basically what he's saying is that he can... That's that the yisoid over here. He's saying is that this, that the Navi realizes, the Navi is aware, he sees that they're holding back from him two levels, let's say, or three levels, or whatever it is, wherever he's holding.
So no, I'm sorry, just thinking back.
Yeah.
The mechitza comes from him, from the Navi.
Right.
But who's holding, in other words, Hashem's nevuah is coming, it's clear, it's tight, everything's perfect.
Right.
There's nothing lacking in the nevuah be'etzem, but he has his own mechitzas that are put up by who? By him?
The mechitzas are, that's a very good question, right? The mechitzas are ba'etzem from the person, right? But what does that mean? Ba'etzem really comes out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created each person in an incomplete way. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'etzem created us with mechitzas. Our default function is we have a certain amount of mechitzas. So on that level, really, Hashem put the mechitzas there. And those mechitzas, the point is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made those mechitzas as a toiva to mankind.
Yeah, otherwise you wouldn't be able to...
The fact that he made that your midos will hold back or, right, will hold back or from going into you is in order to save your life. Is in order to save you. If you got too much, it would kill you. It would destroy you. So he set up the world in such a way that the midas of a person will actually hold back the nevuah. The nevuah, so to say, will not permeate those. Theoretically, could have made it that the nevuah would permeate those barriers. That even a person that has, you know, one of the big things, and people like to take, you know, it actually kind of is like a shtickle yitzahara, holds back out. Sometimes you see a person that doesn't have good midas, and you say like, but he's a massive talmid chacham. How did he get so much Torah into him if he's like? So it looks like the Torah maybe is only intellectual, because we know the Maral says that be'etzim nobody, the whole Torah is a seichel anivdo. The whole Torah is really seichel that's coming out from outer bounds. It's not physical seichel. So in order to be able to be masik Torah, you have to have good midos. You have to be purified on some level to be able to receive that intellectual. Right, that's seichel nivdol, that non-physical intellect of the Torah. So it's a very big kasha when you see a person who's tremendously capable. Right, he might even know, I don't know, all the shas and shulchan aruch, and he acts in a way that's a big chel Hashem. You know, the we know that the greater the person is, learning wise, Torah wise, the bigger chel Hashem if he doesn't act the part. But the truth is that first of all, you know, the like we said, like Hashem Baruch Hu gives different people different base capabilities. So if his base capability is phenomenal, you know, I don't know, God created him like with an Einstein brain or whatever it is, so he'll be able to naturally accept and retain a lot of information of the Torah, which again, the information of the Torah that we receive, that we learn, this is what the tricky thing is, where we retain and learn is a tzimtzum. The letters of the Torah is a tremendous tzimtzum. The true Torah is inside those letters, is the pnimius of those letters. When you learn the Shulchan Aruch, when you learn the Shor, you know, you learn about a Shor and you learn about a Bor and you learn all these things, those letters and the what we are learning and discussing and understanding is the physical external aspect of the Torah. But the depth inside of that is infinite and amazing. So it's true, it's a wow that how can a person have so much knowledge, but his knowledge is external, and that's not the Seichel Nivdol aspect of the Torah that the Maharal is speaking about. The Seichel Nivdol aspect that the Maharal is talking about is something which is a much deeper understanding and much deeper grasping of the Torah, which is beyond Stam intellectual external yediyas. It's something, and if the person did have that, his midas would become refined, because it's not Aristotle's philosophy doesn't have ashpa on his behavior. The Torah, if he's really making a kinyan Torah, you're going to see it in his midas. I've always said to my kids, they say like, look, he's such a Talmud Chacham, and he's doing this. I said, no, he's not a Talmud Chacham. That's not that defines a Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham is defined by the fact that what he learns becomes a part of him. That the Torah is a part, that this person is in a tzig, this person is a sample, an example of what the Torah is. And if he had amassed a tremendous amount of knowledge, but he doesn't act in an appropriate way, that's not a Talmud Chacham. Now there is an idea, there's an idea, Chas v'Shalom, it's happened, a Talmud Chacham Shesarach, a Talmud Chacham that went off. You know, but what that really means is that the aura of the Torah is now is leaving him as well, and the what he's left with is just like the shells, you know, the shell, those are the ideas, but the aura Torah is not part of him. That's not real Torah. Now, okay, let's read. I know it's a little bit late here, but let's read on. I want to try to finish this paragraph. The difference between the prophecy of Moshe and the prophecy of the other Nevi'im, who bezesh Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaSholem Ra Hashem Yisbarach Machre Mechitza Achas. It's that the Moshe Rabbeinu saw Hashem from behind only one mechitza. Mechitza zu imash shemavar Rambam achakach. That mechitza is what the Rambam explained afterwards. She mechitza achas behira. It's one clear mechitza. V'seichel enoshi sheinu nivdol. Moshe Rabbeinu's only one clear mechitza is simply the fact that he has human intellect. Intellect which is not godly. In other words, it's not godly in its essence, not detached from Olam Hazeh, from physicality. Ulechayra imi mechitza. Now, ask Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, if it's a mechitza, echi behira, how could it be light? How could it be like see-through? What, that's a stira in terms, right? If you have a glass mechitza by the women's section, right, it's not so good. That's a stira, the little concept of mechitza. Haloi mechitza ma'afelis ala behirus? Doesn't the idea of separation definitionally mean that it darkens the clarity, the brightness? Avol be'emes b'lei mechitza ein lahasik ma'uma ki oz ein masik. But truthfully, without a mechitza, you wouldn't be able to get anything, because there's not going to be a masik. There's not going to be a person anymore. There's not going to be a receiver anymore. If there was no mechitza, there's no receiver. Shamasik mizbatal kula legabi amusa kener lefnei avuka. Because the person receiving Hashem's light would completely just become nullified legabe what he just received. The same way a ner a small candle's light becomes completely bottle before a torch. V'nimtza shedavka mechitza hi anesenes v'amavsheres es hasaga. So that dafka, the mechitza, is what gives and allows hasaga. Paradoxically, dafka, the mechitza, is what allows him to see. This is, by the way, in the Lashon Arizal, a few times he says that the tzimtzum is the tikkun. This is the same you say. The tzimtzum is the tikkun. Paradoxically, normally we speak about two stages. There's a tzimtzum, or like a hester, and then you have to be mesak in that. But the Arizal says, no, at a deeper level, the tzimtzum itself is the tikkun. Meaning Hashem is mitzamtzim his or. He limits his light so that we can receive it. If he didn't limit the light, we're gone, goodbye. In order for there to be a nivra, there has to be a separation. There has to be a Hashem moves out his light, so to say, and allows a creation to take its existence, to come into being. So he says, "Vizoya behirus de legabi asaga." That's what it means. The clarity over here, legabi the asaga, lo yitochin b'le mechitza, would be impossible without a separation. Vihi amevio es abehirus. The separation actually brings the behirus. It brings the understanding. It brings the lightning, lighting up. So Moshe Rabbeinu retained everything that was possible. So the only mechitza that was left for Moshe Rabbeinu was the human intellect, like we said. In order for him to be masig and to know, he needed that mechitza in order for him to be masig. Says Rabbi Akamosha, ultimately that means that there's a difference between the first mechitza, which is Moshe Rabbeinu's mechitza, the seichel mechitza, and between the other mechitzas, which are the midas mechitzas. Because the other mechitzas, the midas mechitzas, they diminish. They act to lessen the aura that's going through, whereas that first mechitza is the mechitza that is absolutely necessary in order for there to still be a person. Hashem created us with a seichel, a human intellect, in order that we should be humans. If he didn't create us with a human intellect, we wouldn't be humans, we'd just be part of God again. So that in order for him to show himself to a nivra, in order for there to be a nivra, he made this barrier called seichel anoshi. The highest seichel of physicality, yeah? Seichel anoshi. That's now this creation. Now there's a human being. So that was in order, the whole purpose of that first mechitza is in order for there to be a masik. That's why it's called a mechitza. A mirror that illuminates, because the whole point of the mechitza of Moshe Rabbeinu's mechitza, which is the seichel mechitza, is only in order to show God, as opposed to all other mechitzas that the Navi have, which are based on midas, which no, there's more to go, you can get more, you can get higher, but you're not holding there yet, so we're limiting the amount of light going through. That's why the Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu was called the illuminating glass. Even though it was also a mechitza, nevertheless, that mechitza was an illuminating one. That mechitza was in order to bring the light. Without that mechitza, there wouldn't be a light. There wouldn't be anything. It would just be God. So that's really an important yesod to understand that the whole idea of this human intellect is actually a big bracha in its own right, that we should be able to have that hana, to have that oinig of receiving Hashem's light, otherwise we wouldn't be here b'chlal. And the other mechitzas that are meant to, that we have to work harder, we have to go higher and get higher and higher and closer to Hashem. The more we, like I said before, the same way he speaks about Nevu over here, the same way is in learning. The more a person purifies his seichel, I'm sorry, his midas, the more that's open up to a person in Torah. And the more he's Mekayim Mitzvahs, the more he's opening up his neshama and his seichel, it all goes together. There's different layers. And any, you know, any layer you touch is going to automatically, the body works obviously all together, the nefesh works all together. We're a whole in that sense. So if you affect one level, you improve one level, as Hashem, it improves the rest of the levels as well. Obviously, the best is to attack them at all, to attack all levels, to have an avoid on each level. So we have to do mitzvahs ma'asiyos, and we have to do an avoid of musar, avoid of working on our midas. And we have to daven and learn, which is the pet and the mind. So we try to work on all levels. That's Baruch Shalom did this big teva. He gave us an avoid throughout the day to do on all the different levels that we have. I'll just make one mention, since it connects to the Ma'ar Yonayim, is very beautiful Ma'ar Yonayim, which I think is a mitzvah to be mefarsim. It's mechazik, gives a lot of people, I probably give everyone chizik, and it's coming from the same yisoid that we just saw in this Rambam, that we saw in the Ma'ar Nevuchim, Meimorim. Today on Shabbos was the Yortzei of the Ma'ar Yonayim, was the Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov and the Magen Mimezrich at Chernobyl. So over there he writes in Pashas Lech Lo Hadafka, he talks about this inyan of the tzimtzum, that Kadosh Baruch Hu made tzimtzumim in order that we can be able to receive his tremendous light. And then he says, this, you have to know, this is the way, the same way Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world like that, he says, Kachu tomid b'choyve u'b'protus afilu b'kol adam. So too it is in the current state, and in it's by every person as an individual, that's the way it goes. Before HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to appear to the person with his tremendous chesed, meaning before Hashem wants to give a person a big chesed, do kind, be kind to a person, give him something big, and to, right, to bestow goodness upon the person, first there has to be a place of tzimtzum and din mitzad gvura. There's going to have to be difficulty. There's going to have to be a feeling of Hashem's not, he's gone away from us. Some kind of yisurim, some kind of din, some kind of difficult matter. Shezeo gam kein toivu la'adam. That this is really also a good, it's a favor for the person, it's a goodness for the person. How for that person, because this sets the backdrop that now that person can receive the chesed. Without the din and the tzimtzum that came to the person before, the light would be so great he wouldn't be able to be mekabel that or of chesed that gevaldige chesed Baruch Hu wants to do for him. This has to be expanded on to understand it, but just in a nutshell, but that if you really, I think what it, obviously what he's saying is the same way in Bris Olam, first there's a tzimtzum and then Hashem brings in his light, so too in every individual, first Hashem holds things back, he gives a person tzaras, he gives a person yisurim, because he's building something up very big. And the truth of the matter is, just what I think that this translates into is something we've spoke about in the past. Let's say I like to use Mishalom to do with Chinuch, because I think there, it applies to everyone, Baruch Hashem over here, that a person has, let's say, it applies to a person also. Did I give this example? Somebody told me, somebody told me that the person was very, very, very wealthy, okay? And he got into legal difficulties. We're out of the blue, just nowhere, like out of nowhere. Boom, you know, the authorities walk in, freeze all his things, take away his license, and boom, he's stuck now. All the millions are gone. You know, I don't know the details of it, but clearly, tremendous amount of money, perhaps close to, I don't know exactly how, but it's all taken away, and he's now he's facing very, very serious problems such as jail sentence, etc. Right. So he said to me, a comment, you know, he said, you know, people at that level of wealth and success, it's impossible for them to have anava. That's what he told me. It's impossible. You have the fancy car, the fancy house, people are all, you know, respect to either. It's impossible. It's impossible to be to have anava. He said, the Rabbi Hashem did me a chesed, that whereas people have to work on anava their whole life, and they usually don't, you know, whatever, at that level, he gave me anava in 1 second. In 1 second, I became I became mushpo, you know? He got anava on a silver platter. That's a big chesed. So, the same thing with the chinuch. People, you know, people look at the money as it, but the money is not the ikar. The ikar in life is getting closer to the Baruch Shalom, is appreciating life. You can't appreciate life if you don't have anava. You can't really live through life in a real way. People don't realize that you're living in a fake, and you're never really connecting to yourself, and you're never relating to people, and people aren't relating to you. You know how many wealthy people lose their money and then they go and become a nobody? How many grandsons of Gedolei Yisrael, they lose, unfortunately, whatever, at some point, you know, Meir Vesterim, they lose the grandfather and they become a nobody. It's all a bluff. To live a life of bluff the whole life, that's really pathetic, that's terrible, that's tragic. So what I'm saying is the Yisurim build us up. The Yisurim force us into a position where we have to turn to Hashem in davening. We have to turn and we have to start working ourselves. Somebody that has difficulties, let's say, whatever, any kind of psychological or emotional thing, right? So he's got to start now. It gets worse and worse, and Hashem is doing that to him, right? Because Hashem wants to push him to a place where, yeah, now you have to start really doing an avodah on your midas. You have to start getting in touch. If he had not, Hashem didn't apply pressure, just left it at a parva level, he might not have done anything about it. But Hashem squeezes him and says, okay, I'm going to make you suffer to the point that you got no choice. Yeah, for me to go to the doctor, for example, yeah, has to be really, like, tough, because I just don't like doctors, you know? So, but sometimes it gets so bad that, okay, there's no choice, you got to go to the doctor, you know? That's the Rebbe Hashem's chesed. Chesed doesn't want, you know, he forces us. And so we have to appreciate that at the avoid level, that at the truth of life level, we have to see that Torah, the Rebbe Hashem, is mitzamtzem. He gives us some kind of yisurim, some kind of shake-up, forces us in the position to build a whole new level of our personality, of our self. Huh? Same thing with chinuch. Okay, a person has a kid, difficulties, whatever it is. But you know what? You have to work with the kid, and the kid has to work. And that, Bez Hashem, is going to set the kid up for new things. He's going to be able to help other people, perhaps. He's going to be able to deal with things. You know, somebody that never... I don't know if I mentioned this last week or not. I might have mentioned this in one of the shiurim recently. I don't remember. But I spoke to a mashgiach of a certain yeshiva. And he told me, you know something? You have no idea how many... You have no idea what we deal with, psychologically, he was saying, with the bachram. A yeshiva of a few hundred kids. And and a big yeshiva, and we deal with so many. You can't imagine the anxiety and paranoia, whatever. And he says, and the worst are the kids from the wealthy homes. They have the worst. First of all, like the majority, you know, the statistically, he says, the amount of those compared to the lesser, right? They have much more, and each case is also more severe. They are filled with anxiety. What's the point? What's behind that? It's because, generally speaking, kids that are from more affluent homes, they get what they need, they get what they want, forget what they need, they get everything they want, they get certainly a lot more, and this is part of Bechlau, we discussed this as a few, I don't know, not so long ago at this year, is Bechlau, the world, the technology of the world has made life so easy that, and we don't have, the kids don't have a chance to build themselves. They don't have the frustrations. You don't have to do anything to get anything done. You turn on a light, big deal. You don't have to go, like we said, you don't have to go out to the backyard and get the wood out and, you know, make a fire and you gotta chop it up and that, whatever. There used to be a lot of work to get a chicken on your plate, go shechta, you know, like we go to the store. You don't even have to go to the store. You press your, you know, button and it comes to you. There's not, so the wealthier you are, the less you're doing, the more you're getting. So your nefesh is never built. Their nefesh is never built. We have to be very careful with kids. We have to give them jobs to do. We have to give them the chance to have failures, to not get things, to stumble. We have to get them and raise them, educate them how to deal with, you know, yeah. It's the trying that's the important thing. It's not necessarily, you don't have to succeed at everything you do. You don't have to get everything you want and everything you think you need, whatever it is. We have to build them up. We have to, because what happens is, otherwise, they hit life and it's a very big potch in the face. Because guess what? You don't, very few people, probably no one, actually goes through life the way they grew up in that nice giving home. Right? Going to the, suddenly, maybe shidduchim they're not getting so easily. Maybe a job they can't get. Maybe they have difficulty there. Now what do? They go into a terrible, terrible state of anxiety, and it can develop into two way terrible. It busts in very, very severe ways by many people because their nefesh never was grown. Their nefesh was never worked on. It's a very, very scary thing that's more and more becoming a problem this dar. So the tzimtzum that the Rebbeinu Shem sometimes. You have to look at it as a bracha on a deeper level. Nobody wants to go through the Yisurim. Nobody wants the Yisurim. We don't. We ask Al Tivayin the Nisayin. Don't bring me to the Nisayin. Don't bring me to the Bizayin. But if the Rebbeinu Shem nevertheless does, we have to know that it's mamish for our good. It's for our kids' good, and it's in order that we should turn to Him with tefillas. Hakadosh Baruch Hu was this ava to the tefillas of Klal Yisrael, and in order for us to push us into a position where we have to do work that we might. We probably would not do otherwise, and ultimately, it's going to have a payoff. There's going to be a big chesed afterwards from those difficulties, from those yisurim. It's going to be a very big payoff, Be'ez Hashem. Okay, Agudvach.
Is a person capable of being a tzimtzum himself, but with the same goal in mind, or is the tzimtzum has to come from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, or a person being a tzimtzum themselves?
In what sense? I mean, you could do your own avodas hamusar and be a tzimtzum yourself in a certain sense. You know, you can. I mean, I don't know what you mean. Like, you can.
It's a little abstract.
A tzimtzum by nature is Hashem holding back His aura, so it's got to be from Hashem in that sense.
You're saying, by definition, you can't do. You're not allowed to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not really allowed. So like, if you do it on yourself, so it's not a tzimtzum. No, that's not
a tzimtzum. It's like an email. It's like a different
thing. Yeah.